In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Father God, once again, it's our pleasure to be in your presence. Lord, we thank you that you heard our prayers. You are the prayer hearing and prayer answering God. Here we are, what we are come with, we are surrendered unto you. Here we are to receive from you through your word. Lord, speak to us and anoint us by your spirit. Give us the attentive ears to hear your word and be blessed by your word. Hide me behind your cross. Lord, help us to sense that you are here with us and in us. In Jesus' precious name, we offer this prayer. Amen. Please take your seat. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Always I used to say that it's my pleasure to stand before you in the presence of God to share God's word. And I do not know how it is a coincidence what I prepared and what is happening around this. It is something related. Somehow it is related. So the title of my message is Victory Through Overcoming Spiritual Conflict. Victory Through Overcoming Spiritual Conflict. And as an introduction, how the Christians can be victorious in the spiritual conflict between the spirit and the flesh. The basis for our study is from Galatians chapter 5 from verses 16 to 26. And also before that, Luke Gospel chapter 14 from verses 25 to 33. There is something we remember what has happened when our Lord Jesus Christ, after his preaching, verse 25 says, now great multitudes, say great multitude, went with him and he turned and said to them, what did he say? If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciples. Actually, first of all, I thought of asking you, we are God's children. We are all God's children.
Amen.
We are all disciples of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's right. We are the followers of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
For us, the question is this. Now you can think about it. So here he says, you cannot be my disciple. See the reason. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his mother and his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. The verse 27 says, he said further, whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciples. Further you go on, verse 33. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. In one portion, three times he said, you cannot be my disciple, you cannot be my disciple, you cannot be my disciple. What does it mean? What he says, we are only disciples. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
There are conditions. And they are, at that time, on that instant, it was all because so much of crowded he was with. That's what the Bible says, the multitude went behind him, with him. So, you might have thought that there may be different reason for all of them just to crowded. And even now, it is like that. There may be different reasons. Why some places it is crowded, some places it is not much crowd as we are. We can say anything else. So why they are following? That time it was the physical. I understand like this. And if you go to the Matthew Gospel, he says, if you love, it is a straight away. If you love your father, your mother more than me, you cannot be my disciples. Here, if you does not hate his father, mother, so other side of it. Okay, whatever it is, three places he said. First of all, you have to keep all the relationship away. Secondly, you have to take your own cross. That means there will be a suffering, there will be hardships you have to carry, and also a cross, and come after me, he cannot be my disciple. Another place is you have to carry your cross daily and follow. And the third place here says, whoever you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. Okay, leave it as it is. We'll come back to that. So further here, come to the point. Overcoming the conflict. There are 4 points related to overcoming the conflict. In Galatians chapter 5, 16 to 26. Let us read the first portion of 16, 17 and 18. Sister, can you read it?
I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law.
Now you got it. So where is the conflict? Where is the conflict? Within us. Conflict between our spirit and our flesh. And there is a battle every day. So the scripture says, I say then, walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. And you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. 17 highlights the flesh lust against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another. So, you do not do the things that you wish. If you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So what is expected in this? Very simple. All of us in our day-to-day life having conflict between our spirit and with our flesh and our spirit. But God expected us and commences, you should walk in Spirit. So, but the rest of the thing shows the other part of it. Let me go straight away to the first point. Victory comes through an awareness of the conflict. First thing is how you should be a victorious Christian or a victorious disciple. First of all, you should know or an awareness. You should be aware of the conflict. What is the conflict? Most of the people, I do not know about you, but I believe that you understood it. There are, even on these days, people, they don't believe. Once you accepted Jesus Christ and you are filled by the Spirit of God will remain in you forever and lead you into the always positively like a live for Christ. But they don't accept. There will be a conflict every day they are facing with their own flesh. How many of you believe that there will be a conflict between our spirit and flesh? Say amen.
Amen.
That's good. You are a true believer. If you do not accept it, you are not. That's why I ask in the beginning, are you a disciple of Christ? Yes, we are the disciples. To that disciple only, that's why Jesus said, at that time itself, in his time, when they were crowded, well, look at them and said, turn and said, this is, you cannot be my disciple. You cannot, if you do not hate your father, mother, your wife, and your children, you cannot be. You cannot, if you cannot carry your cross daily, and you cannot be my disciple. And further, he was saying that, the third place, what did he say? If you do not give up what you have, you cannot be my disciples. That means, there are people, once they accept, they think that they are always, that is physical, I'm telling about the spiritual. And it is not easy to follow. That's why always I used to make the statement that, knowing Christ is easy. Accepting Christ is easy, but following Christ is not easy. How many of you agree on that? Very few. Following Christ, if you don't agree, you think that following Christ is easy. Shall I take it like that? Following Christ is easy or not? It is not easy. Following Christ means you should live like Christ. You should be like Christ. How he lived on this earth, we should also should live. So living like Christ is not easy. We can say, I am a Christian. I am a believer. I am belongs to the church. Yes, no doubt. Are we living like Christ? That is what here the other phrase is, walk in spirit. Equal to living like Christ. Okay, further move on. So first of all, you should aware. We should know and have knowledge about there is conflict between our spirit and our flesh. That's what Galatians 5:17 says, the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. One of the things is knowing the strength of the enemy is necessary. Knowing the strength of the enemy is necessary. Who is your enemy? Very good. That's fine. So you should know about the strength of your enemy. Am I right? When I heard about the present situation, when did I prefer this message, how it is related to? Nothing is related to what, but the messages given by to us long before. Okay, you should know the strength of the enemy. That's why in the same gospel, Luke Gospel, chapter 14, Jesus said, verse 31, sister, can you read it?
What king going to make war against another king does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000?
You understand that? When God said, you cannot be my disciple, you cannot be my disciple, he highlighted giving one example. How to follow? Why it is not easy? That's why he said, saying this man began to build here, that's the first thing, one example. Second is 31. The what king going to make war against another king does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000. Even building the house, you have to sit and work out whether you can complete it or not. That was the previous one. Here, war against somebody, you should know the strength of the enemy. So you should know the strength of the enemy. That is our own flesh. Don't misunderstand. All of us very much concerned about strengthening our enemy physically. We are very much conscious. I didn't mean that. Don't misunderstand me. Whenever it comes to conflict with our spirit, that's what I mean it. So here, the flesh is in opposition to our spirit. And neither side is content with some sort of peace. One or the other is going to be in control. So, do not do the things that you wish or your own flesh desires. Secondly, we must understand the battle will be ongoing. Again, don't compare to this. So, nobody likes to continue the war forever. Am I? That is different. But here, until we die physically, the war will be there between our flesh and our spirit. Even some people, you know that, even the deathbed, there will be a war between the spirit and the flesh. That I mean it. So the war is ever ending. So we should know that the war will be ongoing. The conflict will be ongoing. So what I am coming to say is, don't take it lightly. If we wanted to walk in spirit, if we wanted to make sure that you are walking in spirit, don't take it lightly. Be careful. Watchful. See that your flesh is not overtaking you. Don't think that the flesh is weak all the time whenever you are going through. It is natural. Most of the believers used to say, what to do? I'm also in flesh. The flesh is weak. Flesh is weak. But in word we are telling flesh is weak. But inside you know how, whether your flesh is weak or your spirit is weak. Hope all our spirits are strong. Amen. Amen. That's true. So Galatians 5, 19 to 21. What it says. So secondly, there must be understand the first of all the war is an ongoing process. So with awareness of the conflict that exists, we are on the road to victory. Sadly, many people lose the battle because they assume that whatever the flesh wants must be the right. That was their mistakes. That's why I said don't underestimate your flesh. And always yield to, oh, it is weak, it is weak. No, it is strong. Secondly, because of the time we have to move. Secondly, victory comes through an awareness of the enemy, which I already said. So victory comes through an awareness of the enemy, not only that, and the consequences of defeat. We should know the consequences of the defeat. What is the consequences of the defeat, as you know? What is the consequences? If you defeat in your conflict between your spirit and your flesh, what is the consequence, result? Spiritual. If you are defeated, death. Not the physical death, spiritual death. That's what 19-21 says. Let us read that. What is the result of? I will read it from NLT version 19. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, pay attention to God's word. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Number one, sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures. Sister, there is a slide on this. Lustful pleasures. 20, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outburst of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like this. Let me tell you again, Paul says, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Same as Jesus said, you cannot be my disciple. So, if you led by your sinful nature, so these are all the sinful thing you have fallen with, and any one of this, lustful pleasure, idolatry, even love for money is an idolatry. So idolatry, these kind of things will lead us into spiritual death as well. So here, what do you understand in this? The enemy is at work. The enemy works of the flesh. Romans 8 verse 8. Sister, can you read it? Romans 8 verse 8.
That's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God.
Romans 14 verse 23.
But if you have doubt about whether or not you should eat something, you are sinning if you go ahead and do it. But you are not following your convictions. If you do anything you believe is not right, you are sinning.
So there are several examples in the Bible. So if you briefly define that the work of the flesh includes the sins of immorality. We know that King David, and how he fallen with Uriah's wife, and also the Lot's daughter with their father, they made idolatry. And sins of idolatry, that is the golden calf in Exodus chapter 32, and Baal worship in 1 Kings chapter 18, And there are many, all of us we know, even in the Old Testament as well as in the New Testament. And sins of intemperance, that is excesses, that is greed. If it is materialism, it is a greed. If it is about the food, it is a gluttony. So these are all sins, unknown. They are all related to our flesh. So these things, if it is anything is excess, that is sin. That is leads to commit sin. So the consequences are defeat or grave, as I said. So in our text we learn that they can cause one to lose the kingdom of God. That's what Galatians 5, 6, 7 and 8 says. We learn they all also produce corruption, both physical and spiritual. Galatians 7 and 8, what it says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Verse 8, pay attention to this. He who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Amen?
Amen.
And you know, in the Old Testament, 2 Samuel chapter 17, verse 23, it speaks about Ahithophel hanging himself. Just read the scripture, you know the background about it. Because his advice to Absalom regarding the overthrow of King David was ignored in favor of Uzziah's counsel. Recognizing that this shift meant the failure of Absalom's rebellion, and he realized he would be executed for his own life to avoid public humiliation. That's why he went back and he hung and he died. That is, we see 2 Samuel 17, 23. So awareness of the enemy and the consequences of defeat helps us to focus our attack and to provide the motivation to attack the forcefully. Otherwise, our attempts will be aimless and off-hearted. Thirdly, victory comes through having the right attitude. Victory comes through having the right attitude. So the same scripture, Galatians 5, 24 and 25. Sister.
And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit.
You got it? So here, those who, we sang also the appropriate songs today. Those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with his passions and desire. We are the people. If we live in Spirit, let us also walk in Spirit. Are we ready to walk in Spirit? We are walking in Spirit. Amen? So no victory is won with a defeatist or a negative attitude. If you approach the conflict saying like, there is no hope, I am too weak, I cannot win, these are all the false things, are the negative confessions. The battle is over. Sometimes the battle is over before it even starts, like it was known. Sometimes some people take it always granted, I know it. Really, it is a very dangerous thing. If anybody says, I do not know about you, but I feel like that. If anyone claims that, before you complete to tell something, I know about it. You know about that person. So that is the wrong attitude actually. Pay attention, pay patience to listen whether it is possible or not. before concluding what we are coming to say, suppose if there is something about the battle, there is something between you, I know about it. I know about myself. So this kind of attitude, they will never change. They will never be cured. It is very dangerous attitude. So that's why the Bible says, having a right attitude for the victorious life. We should have a right attitude for a victorious life. The Christians can approach this conflict with optimism, hopefulness, and with the confidence, with the cheerful heart, positivity. If you approach it, yes, it is possible. I can do that. It is possible in the sense you know about hope has to be there. That is not the other side what I said it. So Romans 6, 3 to 8. Let's go quickly. What do you understand from the air? As we said that, because they have crucified the flesh with the passion and desire. What does it mean? Have you crucified yourself on the cross? Have you crucified yourself on the cross? Yes or no?
Yes.
Not halfway. When did you crucify yourself on the cross? When? Through the baptism. As we know, that occurred when we were crucified with Christ through baptism into death. Romans 6, 3 to 8. Amen? Therefore, verse 4. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we also should walk in newness of life. So verse 8 was said, you do not, don't you know that as many as we are baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. Already our flesh, the sinful flesh, the nature, we believe that it is died. We are new person. We are new creation in Christ. Amen?
Amen?
Yeah. They are therefore indebted, obligated to flesh. Romans 8, 12. There are many scriptures. I'm not reading that. Because they live in Galatians 5, 25. They live in spirit. What it says, if we live in spirit, let us also walk in spirit. So if you say that, yes, we are living in spirit, let us walk in spirit. There are certain things. Quickly, you can take your references. Titus 3, 5 to 6, Romans 8, 2, Romans 8, 11. I'm not going for it. So you can just take that references, then we can proceed for it. So living in the spirit, you maybe can get confused. Living in spirit or led by the spirit or walk in the spirit. What does it mean? Living in the spirit refers to the new life and salvation initiated by the Holy Spirit within a believer. While walking in the spirit is the active daily process of aligning one's actions, thoughts, and decisions with the spirit guidance. It requires consistently following God's will and producing the fruit. Fourthly and finally, victory comes through walking in spirit. What does it mean, walking in spirit? The term walk suggests one's contact and a manner of life, as I said before, in the spirit. That is, as Romans 8, 1 says, there is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the spirit. That's what 8, 1 says. 8, 13 says, if you live according to the flesh, you will die. die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Since both these things are supported by Paul in his writing, I assume walking in the Spirit involves both the concept. So it goes on, the scriptures, there are many, you are expected to go through. 8:14 says, Romans, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. We are the sons of God. We are the children of God. How does one walk in Spirit? Do we walk in Spirit? Listening some of the small voices of God, and also as we are following, say no to, and fortunately so otherwise, no to our flesh, fortunately listening to the Spirit whom God has given, that is the Holy Spirit. Let me close it with, firstly, what are the things of the Spirit? John 14:25-26, you can read it and go and take the note of it. And also John 16:13. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak. And He will tell you the things to come. We should be able to listen to the voice of the Spirit who is already in us. I do not know, you remember in the beginning itself, I pray, the Spirit of God is in us. And He has to take control over our life to guide us and to lead us. And let me close this as a conclusion. And if we are earnestly desire to overcome the conflicts that goes on between the flesh and the Spirit, where does the lust of the flesh pull you in one direction and the Spirit of God would have you go into opposite direction? For the time being, I encourage all of you to accept the challenges to walk in the Spirit. What does it mean? It is an intentional, daily, conscious effort to yield to the Spirit leading rather than your selfish desire. As a significance, it manifests as the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So this involves how it is possible. Just three things. Consistent prayer. Studying the Word. Third, relying on the Spirit of God for your daily guidance to stay in alignment with His will. Again, Romans 8:14, I remind you, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Finally, you may have a doubt about led by the Spirit and walk in the Spirit. Led by the Spirit, always it is led. Led by the Spirit. We are all God saved, and the salvation what we receive, led by the Spirit. But today, all of us are expected to walk in the Spirit. That is what Christ said, even to follow Him, we should always, the following, as I said, the following Christ is difficult. That's why He said, It is not easy to be crowded like this, but hate these things, your relationship, your own desires, put all those things, take your cross and follow me. That person will be the true disciples. That's why he said, it is not easy. So again, why it is not easy? Again, it is a battle, everyday battle between the flesh and the spirit. And every day it is a burden carrying our cross upon us. The Bible says you have to carry your own cross, not somebody's cross. You take your cross and follow daily, then you will prove you are the true disciple of Christ. Amen? Amen. So to live a victorious Christian living, what is expected? We may be weak. I accepted it. But at the same time, the encouragement comes to us is to walk in the Spirit, to live like a Christ, and as in all things, in your thoughts, in your attitudes, in your behaviors, in your character, if we want to be like Him all the days of our life, to enter into heaven, constant prayer is necessary. Studying the Word of God is necessary. And relying on the Holy Spirit is necessary, because He is the teacher who is always in you. You need not go to someone else to ask for your guidance, whether it is right or not. Spirit is there to inform you and to teach you, to guide you, to live like Christ, to be as a true disciple of Christ. May God bless you.